Good morning. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 133. This is a psalm of David. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's head, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing for life. Even life forevermore. This morning I want to talk about unity, and I want to encourage us to carry on being united in what we're doing. David's saying here how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. He knows what it's like when you don't live in unity. He was taught from an early age about Moses and about Exodus and about when they weren't in unity and what happened to them. But he also will have read about when they were in unity and the blessings that God bestowed on them. And David says it's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. When we look back in Leviticus, when Aaron was first anointed with oil, we see that the oil is there to consecrate. The altar was consecrated. The altar was consecrated, the temple was consecrated, and Aaron was consecrated. We have a high priest who was also consecrated. If we read in Mark 14, Mary anointed Jesus with oil. She poured it on his head. And the disciples at the time thought it was ridiculous that she should waste such precious perfume on Jesus. And he rebuked his disciples and said, what she does is a good thing. She's preparing him for what is to come. And I think David sees that. He sees what's coming. In early Greek, early Egyptian, and Roman times, oil was used to anoint guests. The host would anoint his guests. It was an act of respect. In those times, those who were guests that were anointed with the oil would be in the understanding that while they were in that hospitality, they would be protected. So, again, you've got this anointing of oil and this protection. We've got this protection. He then goes on to say about it as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Zion quite often is used as a word to refer to the church, to refer to the Jewish nation. And this dew, when it came down from Mount Hermon, was so, let me find the word that I've got here, copious. I like that word, copious. Lots of dew. There was that much dew on the ground, it was as if it had been raining. Jesus is that river of life, that water that comes. And that dew on those mountains gave that life to the plants, to the people. And also, if you look back, even when God made them walk through the wilderness in Exodus for those 40 years, he still provided for them. He still gave them manna. And the manna came after the dew had gone. So here we see the sort of the blessings and what God is bestowing on them. And the last line, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We have eternal life in Jesus. So I've broken down the psalm a little bit. Now let's see what it means in the early church to be in unity. So if you'd like to turn to Acts 2, verse 42. And this scripture's come up a few times in the last few weeks. Here we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So here we have a group of people who have just realised who Jesus is. They've come to that recognition. They're devoting themselves to the teaching and to the fellowship. This is an example for us as a church to get into. Phil, nearly every Sunday now since the ladies' meal has mentioned the cooking and the time that was had for that ladies' meal. It was a brilliant night. For those who were there that weren't female, that helped serve, it was just wonderful to see so many women in one place enjoying each other's company and enjoying good food. You know, this is what they did. But we also had some teaching. Johnny stood up and spoke for a few minutes. And that's what we need to be doing regularly. Again, we've got the Christmas dinner coming up. And it, again, as Phil has said, between 50 and 60 people are coming. It's wonderful. Please take this as an encouragement that we are starting to do what's here. We're starting to have that fellowship. We're starting to reach out. There are people coming to these meals that don't come to church. And that is what we are called to do. I'm not asking everybody to sell their possessions. We know that that's sort of something that we can't do and is impractical. But he's saying that every day they continued to meet together in the courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. At the minute, we're not seeing people added daily, but that is something that I know Johnny wants to see. I want to see. We need to see this town saved. We need to see as many people in this town come to know Jesus. And we can't do that by just sitting in here. We need to go out. We need to encourage our neighbours, our friends. Something, Joe's not here this morning, she's with the kids. Something that Joe mentioned on Thursday at the house group. It's great that we are a witness to people, but we still have to talk to them. So not only are we a good witness to our neighbours and the people around us, we need to talk to them. And we need to show that love of Jesus, and we need to give that love of Jesus and explain who Jesus is and what he means to us. In the end of Matthew's gospel, we've got the Great Commission. We're going in the right direction. I'll just read it to you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is telling us to go out and make disciples. He's telling us to go, not to stay, but to go out and make these disciples. And as the new year approaches, meetings are going to change in church. Johnny's already mentioned that we will be doing Bible study starting in the new year. So again, I encourage people to come to the Bible study. Let's get into the teaching. Let's learn about God's commandments and how to obey and how to live. That way we will be more effective when we go out, when we talk to our neighbours, when we see people out on the street. Once we're doing the things that Jesus is wanting us to do, and once we are united — I'm not saying that we're not united, because I believe that we are — the success of the ladies' meeting, in how many ladies that came to that meal that weren't in church, I believe that we are united in what we are trying to achieve. But I think we need to be more proactive with each other, with our fellowship, with spending time with each other. And sometimes we can't do that because of work commitments, because of family commitments. But as we listen — and I'm going to mention Phil again — I think Phil's got one of the most important jobs on a Sunday morning, and when he gives the notices. It gives us all an opportunity to see what's going on in the church and to be involved. And I think sometimes we sit there and we listen to the notices and they just sort of go over the top of our heads. It's like, oh, that's their job is kids ministry. Oh, that's their job is the prayer meeting. I'd just like to encourage you to go away and pray. God, where do you want me in this church? What do you want me to be doing in this church? Because we can't all do — Johnny does so much. He's, I believe, leading the Monday night house group now that Nigel's gone. He's a big part in our house group. David does a lot of leading in that. But we seem to have the same people doing the same work and the same work. See what God's saying to you. Where can you be a part of that? Even if it's just helping out with the teas and coffees. I see other people. I see Sam and Celine going around tidying up. It's not their duty to do the teas and coffees that morning, but I see them week in, week out, helping whoever it is, doing that work. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to serve one another. I have to hold my hand up. I don't get involved in as much as I could. And I will give you excuses that I've got a lot to do in the house that I'm renovating. I've got a family that I need to look after. But my family's getting of an age where they can look after themselves. You know, the renovations can be done instead of me sitting down and watching a TV programme. They can be done at other times. It's prioritising what we're doing in our lives that prioritise God, not us. And I think quite often, and I'm a guilty one of this, I indulge myself and not what God wants. And this is something — so I'm speaking to me a lot here. I need to get where God wants me. And hopefully, by sharing what I'm sharing today, it's going to go deep into my heart that I will change the way that I live so that I can be more effective for God. I want that. I just need here and here to connect. And when I'm not doing what I should be doing, there's that little voice that says, stop it. Stop it. Go do what you're supposed to be doing. Because renovating the house, we've got Sam and Celine hoping to move in before Christmas. And if you come and looked at the house, you'd say, no chance. But it's how you set out your priorities and how you live your life. We saw when I read through Acts that they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the teaching. They were devoted to the sharing, breaking of bread. They were devoted to praying together. This is what we need to be doing. This is where we need to be at as a church to move forward. And I believe that this church will grow and will grow and will grow when we get to that point. I'm not saying we're not walking towards that point, because we are. I can see that, and I can see that in people around me. I look at my kids and I see how God has changed their lives so much because they've got into the Word and they've been looking to Jesus. The changes are just, it's difficult to put into words. If I carry on speaking about it, I'm going to get all emotional and start breaking up. But I just see it in all of them. There's a difference. Since coming to Sobey Bridge and getting into that Word and looking and reading and just being a part of church, lives are being changed. And I just see that in my own family. But I see that out there as well. Steve, on his baptism, what a wonderful testimony that was. And people's lives were changed that morning. You know, we don't always see numbers come in. And it's not all about seeing numbers come in. It's about seeing hearts changed. And I believe that morning that there were many in Steve's family that will come in the near future to know Christ as their Saviour. And again, I just want to encourage you, it was something else that as a church that we got together. Danny and Danae with the worship. Sam and Celine as part of that worship. I just want to encourage you. It's brilliant. We get so close to the presence of God within the way that we worship and everything else. Something that Johnny mentioned this morning about communion. It's about communion together. And I nearly said the same things for communion last week. That was something that was running through my mind. I was sat there looking through a dictionary. Communion, what does it mean? What does it mean? We're doing the things that God wants us to do. I'm just encouraging you to do it more. Do it more and do it more. I don't have a great deal else to say. This morning's word from the psalm, it shows you how much when the church is in unity, God wants to bless and God wants to see. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you to be a part of what's going on in this church. Seek God. Seek what he wants you to do within this church. And if it's kids' work, see Ruth. If it's something else, speak to Johnny. Just get involved. Be that body that works together, that intertwines. We've spoken in the house group quite a few times about the building blocks and about those blocks interlocking. You can't build a wall with bricks straight up. It has no strength. But when you interlock and you have cornerstones, that's where your strength is. Just as a little bit of a testimony, I used to work in the fire service, and we were part of the team I worked in. We did what we called smashing and bashing. Basically, we were trained for when buildings have collapsed, either through natural or through bombs. We were taught how to smash our way through to rescue people. And as part of that, somebody, a senior officer, wanted a garage knocking down. So he asked us, as part of our training, could we come and demolish the garage? The walls in between the corners were easy to knock down. But when you come to them corners that were on a cornerstone and then interlocked, they had just so much strength. Without actually trying to knock them down, you wouldn't believe how much strength there is in that corner. And that's what we need to be like. Each role that we have has to interlock and interlock and interlock. And as long as we've got Jesus as that cornerstone, we've got that strength for that wall to stand. And if that wall stands in unity, then this town's saved. I'd just like to pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that for this opportunity to share, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each and every one here will take heart, Lord, will be encouraged, Lord, and will seek, Lord, your will for their lives within this church, Lord. And that we will together work in unity to reach the people of this town, Lord. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we will eventually see people being saved daily. In Jesus' name.